Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 2nd, 2020. In turmoil, most still don't realize it. Can you believe it? They still don't realize it, that we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, text my cell phone first, 316-619-4886. You can find all the updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube. And it's on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Anyway, on another note, let's thank our listener base that's in Croatia, Dublin, Ireland, Florence, Italy, and, of course, cities in the United States such as Chicago, Illinois. And, by the way, somebody sent me a video of a preacher out there on the street. I guess he was a minister from Torch Ministries or something, and he was preaching to empty streets about repentance. We should all think about repentance, but it was an unusual video. Anyway, Nashville, Tennessee, El Paso, Texas, Wichita, Kansas, you're the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcast later tonight. And Chicago only fell right underneath you. They were almost at the top. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's guest, which I think is there. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and give everyone ears out there in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight is Joel Richardson. He has many books. Some of them are When a Jew Rules the World, Mystery of Babylon. I think we can hear him in the background there. The Mideast Beast, The Islamic Antichrist. He co-authored a book called God's War on Terror, Islam, Prophecy, and the Bible with Wally Chubat, The Mystery of Catastrophe. You really should get that book. That's really a good book for this time. But anyway, are you there with me, Joel?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. Good to be with you again.
Well, hey, man, I'm glad you're back. Our producer, Frank, tuned you in another way, and he said, I said, is he there? And he said, well, I think he's there. I don't know. He's saying now, yay, it worked. So, yeah, I'm glad you're here, too. Joel, I don't really know even how to start this, in the sense that we're in the midst of this coronavirus, and there are so many things out there. Some people are freaking out. Some people are acting like it's nothing at all. We have prophecy people saying this is the next seal. Well, the next seal, I didn't know the first one opened. I'm not sure. You understand? But it's all crazy. Then the other night, my wife and I listened to your program. Now she's going around it telling everybody to lean into it. That's when I was inspired to call you to see if you would bring a little sanity to this. Back to you.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, in fairness to everyone, the prophecy world can be a bit crazy and over the top and sensational, even when things aren't that crazy. But we really are stepping into a an awfully crazy season. I mean, this genuinely is, I mean, it really hasn't gotten that bad yet. But I think in a couple weeks, it's going to really settle in, when we see, the numbers in the United States infected in the millions. By the end of this month, in all likelihood, I think it'll definitely be well over a million just in the United States. And when we see the deaths, skyrocketing, you know, as we actually know people, family members or, you know, different people that have died because of this, then it's going to set in. And, yeah, I mean, it's a sober moment for the whole world. And this is what's amazing is, I mean, even the most hardened unbelievers, the most hardened skeptics, they're really forced, whether they like it or not, to sort of face the reality of what we're dealing with. And so the Lord is, in my opinion, he's speaking. He's speaking to the whole world. And the question is the church listening? Is the church paying attention? And or are we just off, you know, I hate to say it, playing games as usual. Either playing Chicken Little, the sky is falling, we're in the tribulation, or this type of thing, or acting like nothing's, you know, this is no big deal. I've seen various charismatic prophets, really a few weeks ago, probably 3 weeks ago, saying, the Lord showed me this thing's going to be nothing. Starting now, it's going to turn around. And the numbers have just continued to climb since. And so, yeah, there's no question that we need a sober, biblical assessment of what's going on. And then once we accept the reality of what's going on and accept the biblical prescription for what's going on, then we have to make the hard choices to essentially embrace the Lord's word for us in this hour.
Yeah, amen. That message, and by the way, that message, folks, is over at joelstrumpet.com. You can find it over there with the underground, but you really hit the nails on the head with it. And like I say, you know, I'm hoping you can shed some light on this. Now, I know this is dramatic and that the numbers are going to go crazy, but the first thing I would like for you to address is there's a group of people out there that are saying, okay, this is bringing it on all right. They're telling churches to shut down, and you're seeing, pastors in different places go ahead and having services. And then in one case, the pastor even died. In other cases, big portions of their congregations got sick. How do you address that? How do you address that?
Well, look, you know, this thing's bringing up all kinds of questions. In terms of church, in terms of this issue, you know, the sort of debate that's been happening. Should we have church? Should we not have church? I don't believe that the Bible ever commands us to necessarily meet together at a church building. The scriptures do command us to continue to meet together. Now, praise God for, despite all of the problems, praise God for the internet. Praise God for technology. We have the technology. We can meet together. We don't need to meet together in a church building. We can continue to meet together, fellowship, have prayer meetings, have sermons, and gather, faithfully give to the pastor. You know, we can do all of those things, without necessarily having to infect one another with a potentially deadly disease. So, you know, I think we can be wise, while still being faithful to the scriptures. But, you know, there's always going to be goofiness, and you've got some pastors that act as though not having church is a sin. Some, part of me suspects that the only reason they wanted to continue to have church is because they need the tithe. I mean, you know, part of me suspects that that's part of it. Some just like to, you know, kind of act big and act holier than thou. We're going to have services regardless. And then they start losing people in the church. People actually start dying. Like you said, pastor died over this. And that's where you say, okay, maybe it's time to stop the snake handle in religion, you know, and go beyond the bounds of what the Lord has commanded us and actually, you know, putting ourselves in positions of danger when the Lord didn't say to do that. And in my opinion, that, you know, that analogy of snake handlers, that's not much different than what some of these pastors are doing. You know, they quote passages out of context. They say, the Bible says, when I put the blood over my door, the plague will pass over me. And I go, yeah, that was a, you know, that's the inspired word of God to the Israelites back in the Exodus. That doesn't apply to the coronavirus right now. We have to use wisdom. So it's unfortunate that, that some of the people of God did not and are not using wisdom.
Right. Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head with something that you said right there. That applied to the Israelites at another time. And that's how so many people, I see it all the time. That's why we get all these crazy ideas, different ideas about the Antichrist. By the way, I know you got a good video over there about it, but is they apply scriptures to things that, you know, clearly don't apply to, using them out of context, using partialities instead of the context. And this happens over and over. Right now, that's dangerous, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's, you know, that's why taking into consideration the proper context of the Bible is essential, because it really is a matter of life and death. And, you know, there's a lot of goofiness out there in the body of Christ, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, again, this is not to bash anybody who, in their rationale, they believed it was the right thing to do. I think it's fair to say that it's not wise. You know, we're not picking on anyone if that was their conviction, but personally, I don't see any good arguments for it. You know, the main issue that I've been hitting on is really just trying, you know, because look, there's so many different voices in the body of Christ, and, you know, to be clear, I consider myself a charismatic Pentecostal. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit ongoing. I got saved in the context of a tent revival meeting. I mean, you know, I believe that these things continue. That said, the charismatic world can be filled with a lot of goofiness and a lot of bad doctrines. And these days, there's a lot of voices in the charismatic world in particular. It's not just the charismatic world, but a lot of voices that they no longer have a theology of the Lord's chastisements. They don't have a theology. They say, you know, because Jesus absorbed all judgment at the cross, he no longer ever judges anyone. And so they, you know, you really have, you know, again, some of the other segments of the church. You've got popular, fluffy, mega church, selfish, therapeutic, pop Christianity. You know, and so much of the church, the point is this, so much of the church is unprepared. They don't have a theology for the Lord's end time chastisements toward his people. They don't have a proper theology of suffering. They don't have a way to process any of this. And so this is really what I'm trying to awaken the church to, is to understand a biblical theology of how God deals with his people, and specifically how he said he's going to deal with his people in the last days, because this really is, I think it's a dress rehearsal. I mean, it's serious, but it is still just a dress rehearsal for the things that are coming down the pipe, and we need to be prepared. The church needs to be prepared. Because otherwise it's going to do, I mean, the things that are coming are going to bring tremendous damage. If we don't understand what it means to die easy, you know, you said your wife is saying, you know, lean into it. If we don't understand what it means to embrace the cross willingly, then, you know, when we're resistant, that's when the most damage is done. That's when we get broken. And so we need to understand a biblical theology of God's refining, God's chastisements, and God's pruning.
Yeah, amen. at Messiah's Branch, we always taught that, you know, the Father chastises those he loves to change us, to get us ready to be with him. And yes, she says lean into it, she heard you say that, which really is kind of funny. But really, and she was pretty upset prior to that. Now, she's still upset, but the point is that that helped her to lean into it, to understand where we're at, and to lean in to understand this is coming about. Now, you have a lot of people, I'm not trying to switch gears, but you have a lot of people, and you address this to a point. There's a lot of people saying, well, okay, this is punishment on America for abortion and this and that. Well, isn't this worldwide? Back to you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, China and India have far more abortions than the United States. And the reality is that India is not suffering nearly as bad. We've blown way past China in terms of the numbers. So if this is specifically because of abortion or homosexuality or, you know, transgenderism, I mean, whatever it is that somebody wants to point to and say this is God's judgment, the fact of the matter is it's affecting the whole world. And so, you know, there's a very clear scripture where Jesus says, he goes, hey, you know, whose sin, whose fault was it when that tower fell and killed a bunch of people? He goes, I'm telling you what, those people weren't any different than anybody else. He goes, but I tell you what, you need to repent, otherwise you'll be destroyed essentially as well. So the point is, he goes, look, natural disasters happen, and it's not because of some particular sin. It's not always because of some particular sin. But nevertheless, the message is there. We need to repent. Okay? Because the message of repentance is always present. You know, that's the essence of the gospel. Repent. Why? Because the day is coming when every single one of us, Christians and unbelievers alike, again at different times, but we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account for the deeds done in this life, whether good or bad. And this is something that Christians often don't hear. They go, wait, I thought I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. You go, yeah, you are, but you still will give an account. You will still be judged. You know, and based on our faithfulness or lack of faithfulness, that will actually determine our rewards, our lack of rewards, our role and our positions in the age to come. He says, come, you who have been faithful in little. Now, because you've been faithful in little, take charge over 10 cities, right? And so that day is coming, and that's really the central point of the prophets, John the Baptist, is the day of the Lord is coming. And so everyone needs to repent, not just those that are guilty of abortion, but Christians, you and me, Pastor Dan, we need to take this seriously and use it as an opportunity to return to the Lord.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree. Even, and you say us, of course, we are, I'm seeing a gospel come out, you know, especially in Wichita, we have different people filter in and you talk with them and they talk about committing it, you know, continuing on in adulterous affairs and having as many partners and this and that and the other. And I ask them, where do you learn those things? Where do you get that? Well, from the church down the street, they tell them it's perfectly all right. They're preaching a gospel of non-repentance. And repentance is always number one. Sure, when we're saved, we repent of being a horrible person, whatever, but we're repenting of past sins as we go forward. As my wife says in prayer, she says, forgive us of those sins that we know about and the ones we don't know about. So, but it's still a state of constant repentance, is it not? Back to you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a tragedy in the church. You know, we've gone soft on preaching about the reality of hell. We've gone soft on the reality of preaching repentance. I mean, foundational biblical doctrines. We don't preach the judgments of God, even the chastisements of God on his people. We don't preach the coming judgments before the return of Jesus. We don't preach the return of Jesus. And so we need to get back to the biblical gospel. There's no question about it. You know, there's actually some people in the body of Christ, usually they're in the Wesleyan Nazarene tradition, and they say, well, you know, after you get saved, there's a point where you sort of receive this secondary infilling of the Holy Spirit, and you can live a perfect, sinless life. And they're always quoting, of course, 1 John. Now, the Bible says, because we have the Holy Spirit, we are no longer slaves to sin. We don't live lives of sin. We don't go on living adulterous lives. We're no longer drug addicts. We're no longer thieves. But anyone, you know, 1 John goes on and says, but anyone who thinks they can get through, you know, one day, 1 hour without sinning, even if it's the sins we don't know about that are the hidden motives of our heart, we deceive ourselves and we make God out to be a liar. So, I mean, the reality is we're filled with sin. You know, we ooze sin even on our best days. And so even the holiest among us need to live a life of ongoing repentance. I need to live an ongoing life of repentance. And if that's not part of who we are, then we very quickly are going to just backslide. That's just the way things are in this age. We will backslide.
Yeah. Absolutely. We should walk like we're walking through a minefield every day. We need to judge ourselves, because if we judge ourselves, then we won't be judged. We shouldn't be judged. So we have to look in that mirror. We always say, you know, like before we, you know, do, you know, so many people have different names for it. Some call it communion. I don't call it that. Some call it the Lord's Supper. You know, I just see it's a reenactment of the starting of the new covenant, whatever. But you know what I'm talking about. Before we do that, we always say we need to look ourselves in the reflection of the Word and see if we own up. We need to judge ourselves first, and we need to do it all the time. We should be in a state of constant repentance. Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you've got that verse, his blood be on our hands. You know, they cried out. And this is the paradox of, you know, when we receive the body and blood of Christ is, on one hand, thank God that his blood is on us, right? Because other than his being washed in his blood, there is no way we can be clean. But on the other hand, his blood is on our hands. If it was not for our sins, he wouldn't have had to have died. And so it's a recognition of the fact that I am responsible for his torture and mutilation and death. I'm responsible. My sin brought him to the cross. But also, thank God that his blood is on me. Because apart from that, who can stand before the Lord on that day? Who can stand on the great and terrible day of the Lord? So it's one of the, to me, you know, communion, again, the Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it, it's one of the most powerful aspects of the Christian walk.
Yeah, amen. And that's a problem I have with a lot of Messianics, you know, or Hebrew roots, because they both, a lot of them filter into the same thing. Actually, less with Messianic. But told her, well, you're only supposed to do that at Passover time. No, it says for as often as we do this, we need to do it continually. And, man, I always feel better and refreshed afterwards. And you know what I'm saying? It's very important. It needs to be there. And I just want to tell you, and I want to tell the folks out there, too, is that why, yes, we're Torah observant or whatever we try to be. You know, I'm 100% with you, Joel, is one of the biggest things that I've noticed in Messianic or Hebrew roots is that most of the time they don't have the charismatic aspect. You have to have spirit and Torah. It has to be there. You have to feel it. You have to move it. You have to go in the gifts of the spirit. Those are here. They're present. They're here for us. They have to be here for us. Just saying. We're going to go to break in about a minute, so if you could tell them where to find you at and everything and your videos, and then we'll go to break, come back and talk some more if you want.
Yeah, I'm at joelstrumpet.com, joelstrumpet.com. Also, faistudios.org. We're in the middle of a fast, and we're doing daily teachings on the end times, so if you go to faistudios.org, you can track with what we're doing right now.
FAI Studios. Is there a link to that on your site?
No, but just FAI, which stands for Frontier Alliance International, so FAIstudios.org.
Studios.org. Okay, I'll find it and I'll put it out. Folks, I'll put it out when this goes to podcast later tonight, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes and talk some more with Joel. Be blessed.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go and let the gospel flow. Let them know that Jesus can save. On the cross his life blood he gave. He poured it out for sinners. He's looking for repenters that tell him that he rose from the grave. Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go. And let the gospel flow. Let him know that Jesus is King. Peace and love and joy he will bring. And when they feel like dying and there's no use in trying, let's tell them Christ is everything. Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go. And let the gospel flow. Let them know that God's on the throne and gives them every good thing they own. Let's teach them to be grateful and pray that they'll be faithful, that He's the best friend they've ever known.
Would you do if you had to tell a person the most important information in the world, but you knew they wouldn't believe you? Would you tell them? Well, most would. So what is the most important information in the world to all people, nations, and languages? The most important thing to do is to receive Jesus, but the most important thing not to do is don't take the mark of the beast, because those taking the mark of the beast do not get soul death, but are eternally tormented in hell. Revelation 14:11 says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, or whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." But how do you tell them? Give them the book, Miss the Mark. If they'll read this simple, thin, easy-to-read book, they will never take the mark of the beast. One for 20, but don't do that. We offer them in shrink-wrap sets of 10 to give away. One set of 10 for 30, two sets 45, four sets 70 at prophecyclub.com. Miss the Mark at prophecyclub.com. Miss the Mark at prophecyclub.com.
Greece or Grecia had very little immediate significance to the writers of the Old Testament. From a prophetic standpoint, however, Greece was extremely important. The prophet Daniel, relating a vision he had been given, foretold of the fall of the Medo-Persian Empire and the rise of the powerful Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great. At the height of his power in 323 BC, Alexander the Great died in Babylon, having conquered a vast area stretching from Greece to India, including Egypt and Israel. Little by little, Rome gained dominance over the Grecian Empire. Even so, Hellenistic thought continued to prevail for hundreds of years after the birth of Christ. At the death of Caesar Augustus, the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire stretched from Spain to the Caspian Sea. Christ was tried, found not guilty, but yet crucified under the direction of the Roman government. Christianity was born and grew up in this setting. Later, many Roman emperors came to power, commanding adherence to their own versions of paganism. By the year 321 AD, the faith of the first century believers had almost vanished, and a blend of sun worship and the true worship of the Creator had been substituted. Almost, for God has always preserved a faithful remnant. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We are talking with Joel Richardson about various things and the coronavirus crisis, of course. But first, just a little more to you about the Mission Church. Folks, the last day that we were over there, we were just over there Tuesday, and we thought, we had heard that the city was going to come forward and start taking care of everybody and open up the old library building and put everybody in there because Kansas is on a lockdown. We're not even supposed to be out and moving around. But they didn't do it. We had over 50 people show up, and we gave them food and hygiene bags and things. And so right now it's an ongoing effort. Right now I do realize that we may have to step back for a couple of weeks and see where the chips fall at. But we have not. We were there Tuesday. Anyway, so pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We do need your help. A lot of donations have dropped recently because there's people being laid off from work. We understand that. But pray about supporting us. We really do need your help. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. I know that you enjoy and learn from our guests. So radio isn't free, and donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order or give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Joel Richardson. You still with me, Joel?
I'm still here, Pastor Dan.
Okay. Well, you know, I can't see you, so I always got to ask. I actually plugged in a camera and did a test thing on YouTube. You know what I mean? To do YouTube live, right? And
sure.
I came out with the conclusion the other day that I was too ugly for it. But anyway, I'm really considering about doing video stuff. But anyway, moving right along. Hey, I found that. It's FAI Studios, folks, and there's a whole bunch of things. What is going on over there? Tell us a little bit about it before we talk.
Well, so we've been we've called a 14-day fast leading up to Passover, and we've been hitting on a different end times passage every day, and all of the old sessions are still up there. You can when you go to FAI Studios, you can either for your smartphone or your iPad, tablet, you can download an app. So you go to the Apple Store, or Google Play, or Android, whatever your app store is. You can download the app, and you get all of our stuff. I mean, we're doing podcasts, we're doing Bible studies, that's where our films are, all of that stuff. Or if you just want to do it on your computer, you can, again, go to FAIstudios.org. We're on, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, Roku, all of this stuff. So we're trying to start a movement. We want to bring the global church back to the Maranatha message, this cry for the return of Jesus. The cry for the return of Jesus, not only is it, I mean, it's the essence of the gospel, the good news.
Yeah,
he's coming back. Yes, he's come already, but he's coming back to renew all things. It's the blessed hope. It's the anchor of hope for our souls, right? I mean, if we want to navigate the storms, we need that anchor. I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, I just said amen. I'm sorry. I opened my big mouth and said amen. Back to you.
Sorry. Yeah, it's the anchor of hope for our souls. And it was a powerful motivator for the apostolic church. They were excited about this message. Because of it, they shared the gospel. They made disciples. They reached the ends of the earth. And it also says, the scripture says, everyone who has this hope purifies himself. So it's a motivation for holiness. And it really is. It's the plumb line. It's the standard that we need to get back to. So we're trying to leverage technology to get the message out. And, so it's myself and a lot of, different friends that I'm, partner with in ministry, and, a lot of great resources.
Yeah, amen. It looks like something that we need right now, but all the time. But, it's like this, folks. You can let the devil defeat you and sit around glum, or you can join in on something like this, because this is where we're at. We don't have to be disconnected, and we have the potential to minister to anybody, any place in the world. And that's one of the biggest things with our ministry that I do love, Radio Joel, is because we have a very large audience from all over the world. When it goes to podcast, we get a map that tells us where all the downloads are at and everything. And so we can see people in China and Russia or Israel or Saudi Arabia, and they're listening, and they're listening to the guests. And so it's powerful. We need to embrace that. Back to you.
Yeah, amen. I mean, it's the global body of Christ. We have family, not just friends, not just, you know, fellow Christians. We have family, no matter where we are in the world. And, you know, again, technology is evil. You know, the Internet's evil, but it's also, it's like all things. You know, you can use it for redemptive purposes, and so we want to leverage it, you know, for the kingdom.
Well, amen, amen. Okay, folks, the link will be out there. I already sent it over to the pastor's page on our website, so you can find it right there right now if you want it. But it will be there. It'll be wherever the podcast is at. Okay, here's another aspect to all this. Now, of course, there's so much crazy stuff, and I couldn't think of a better person to dump it on than you, but you're a brother, so why not? Anyway, a lot of people are saying that this is going to, we're all going to get a mark because of this, Joel. And then that's going to lead to somebody stepping up and being the Antichrist. But that just really doesn't line up with what the scripture says. You happen to have a really good video over there about it. Take us into something.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, and I think I know what you're talking about. So there's a lot of, there's a few videos that are going around. People are sending it to me, and some guy made a video where he quotes an article about Bill Gates wanting to give us vaccines that comes with a nano tattoo, and then it says Bill Gates wants us to receive a microchip to prove that we've had the vaccine. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's one of them. That's a predominant one, though.
Okay. So here's the thing is I hate to say it, this is typical sensationalism. Bill Gates, you know, he's a liberal, so, you know, he does believe in population reduction, but he believes that through healthy family planning, he doesn't believe in killing people for population reduction. You know, he believes in family planning and reproductive rights and all that kind of typical liberal stuff, right? But he also has been working with MIT so that it's technology that when they give you the vaccine, it would create these nano dots. Now, nano means so small that it's like at the molecular level. There is no way you could ever see it with your eyes. And it's not a microchip. It is not a microchip. It is essentially invisible because it's so tiny, nano technology that puts some dots into your body that a computer could then read simply to say that you have been vaccinated. It's a way of tracking people that have been vaccinated versus those that haven't. Particularly, you know, in third world countries where that's much more of an issue. And then you get one guy who is kind of a conspiracy theorist, and he puts up this sensational headline, Bill Gates wants to commit genocide and wipe out millions of people. And then you get another guy on YouTube, and he puts that article up there as proof, as if this is some mainstream news story that he's citing. And it's not. It's just some other guy who's a sensationalist. And then people recycle these things, and they go, this is it, it's the mark of the beast. No, it's not a, you know, hey, look, I'm all for constitutional rights and privacy, and it's something to be concerned about, but this is not the mark of the beast, period. Even those who, you know, that's what you're looking for is a microchip, this and that, this is not that. I mean, if you really do the research, and that's what a good research, that's what a Berean should do, look up the original sources behind the claims, and it all just falls apart. Now, in terms of what does the Bible say about the mark of the beast, the Bible says that, well, first of all, people go to heaven or hell based on their acceptance or rejection of Jesus. And the Bible says that whoever takes the mark of the beast goes to hell. Okay, so the mark of the beast is not some loophole in the system that if Satan can just trick you into getting a vaccine, you're going to hell. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's not like a Nerf tag football game. Whoop, you got the mark of the beast. There goes your salvation. It's not a loophole in the system. The mark of the beast will be associated with a religious system. It will inherently necessitate a denial of Christ. It will be a doctrinal matter. Okay, so look, there's a lot of reasons to be concerned with technology and privacy and all kinds of craziness out there. But we also need to rein it in, reel it in a bit. There's a lot of sensationalism, a lot of goofiness out there, and it's causing people to panic, and we need to have a level head right now.
Well, okay, and I honestly know that as a fact, folks. I do believe what you're saying, Joel, in the sense that it has to be it is a rejection of Christ. It is blasphemy. It's a rejection of Christ. And I believe it'll be a clear choice. It has to be a clear choice, or really the Bible doesn't matter, because everything is about our choice. The Father didn't make us robots. He made us to have a clear choice one way or another. Either we accept Christ in his ways, or we accept the devil in his ways. It's a clear choice. We have to have that choice for the mark of the beast. Yes, all of these things could be against our privacy. It could go into a police state or anything else if it was used incorrectly, but it's still not the mark. The mark will be clear. It'll be a religious thing. It'll be a rejection of Christ, just like you say. Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of concerns, like you said. Police state, dictatorships, technology is getting really scary. There's, you know, we used to sing, there was the song, you know, the eye in the sky. You know, back in the 80s, there was no eye in the sky. Nowadays, there is an eye in the sky. You know, there's monitors everywhere. We're being monitored. We're being watched by the government. And there's a lot of legitimate reasons for people to be paranoid, to be concerned, and all of that. Again, but we need to recognize that the mark of the beast is very clear. And for what it's worth, look, the doctrine of the Antichrist is a denial of the Father and a denial of the Son. 1 John 2:22 lays it out clearly. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Denies the Father, denies the Son. What do the kings of the earth and the followers of the Antichrist, what are they raging about? It says they take their stand against Yahweh and his anointed, his Moshiach. It's against the Father and the Son. Right? Consistently, this is the doctrine of the Antichrist. And so, in my opinion, the mark of the beast, it'll probably be some type of religious identification that will be tied also to an economic system. You know, you look at Islam, it really has that Sharia law, that economic system. But yet, I do think it'll be something that we quite haven't seen yet. And it may very well be tied to technology. But when you take the mark of the beast, there will be essentially a statement of faith, a confession of faith, a denial of the Father, a denial of the Son. And in many ways, the creed of Islam, it's called the Shahada. It's the confession that a Muslim says when he converts to Islam. It's the first words that a Muslim father whispers into the ear of his children. And it's, you know, the confession. There's no God other than Allah. Of course, they say in Arabic. And then they say Muhammad is the final messenger, the apostle of Allah. And it's really a denial of Yahweh, and it's a denial of Jesus, who is the final, of Yeshua, who is the, you know, before he spoke through his prophets, but in the last days he has spoken through his Son. And so even just, you know, the creed, that's to me probably the best foreshadow of what the mark of the beast will be. It will be some type of a religious economic system, and you'll have to confess, for instance, the Shahada or something like it, and inherently deny Christ in order that you can do business and feed your family. And, you know, we hear stories, from the Islamic world. I remember there was a Christian family that lived on a Muslim street in Cairo. This was back during all the revolutions, 2013. And all of the Muslims, when things really got bad, the Muslim Brotherhood, the more radicals, they wouldn't do business with this Christian anymore unless he converted to Islam. And, you know, he held out. Of course, he was a Coptic, you know, traditional Christian, but he held out for as long as he could. And finally he said, I can't feed my kids anymore. And, you know, the story was, with tears in his eyes, he converted to Islam. He said the Shahada. Now, in his head, he's probably thinking, well, I'm saying it outwardly, but I'm not really converting. But that's the type of pressure. That's the type of thing, in my opinion, that the mark of the beast will be. It will be religious, social, economic pressure. And right now, again, it's a prelude. It's a foretaste. It's a dress rehearsal for the tests that are coming. Because we're feeling the squeeze. We're all feeling the squeeze. And we're all going to come out of this thing pruned. We're going to come out of this season of the coronavirus. People are going to lose their their dignity. They're going to lose their jobs. They're going to lose their houses. Some people will lose family members. They'll lose their health, their reputations, their ministries, their jobs, businesses, you name it. The whole world is going to be pruned severely, their retirement plans. And, you know, and if that's going to break us now, there's much, much harder things coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what the message I've been trying to get across to people in part. Of course, it's progressed. We started talking about it on radio back in January when we first thought it, and I thought it was going to get real bad. But the point is I'm telling people they need to take stock, just like the stores is a prime example. People are so unready. You go to the stores and everything's gone, and everybody's getting this and getting that. Thank goodness the stores have now cut, anyway in our area, have started to come back, and they're not putting limitations on everything. But that took a whole 2 or 3 week or month wave of people constantly taking things. If we're that unprepared, I mean, it's just pitiful. It's going to be bad. The next is going to be worse. We need to be ready now. And that's the physical storehouse. What about our spiritual storehouse? You understand what I'm saying? Back to you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's why we practice. Look, you know, no one's perfect in this. No one is perfect in this. That's why we need, in the good times, and look, we're coming out of one of the best economies in the history of our life, probably in any of our lifetimes. We're coming off of that. So, guys, we got it easy. But we need to practice day to day. I love the analogy. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Practice giving away. Practice in, because wherever you invest your money, that's where you're, wherever you invest your energy, your money, your time, your affections, your thoughts, wherever you invest, that's where your heart will be. So unless we're regularly practicing sacrificial giving, investing time, energy, thoughts, emotions, all of those things in the age to come, then, you know, if we're just investing it in this age, then when we lose everything, what do we have left? We have nothing. But in this age, when we lose everything, we lose our finances, again, our dignity, our prestige, our reputation, our ministries, our businesses, our 401k, our retirement. But we know, we go, Lord, I've been storing up a lot of treasure in heaven. We know that we are rich despite that. And we know that it's temporary. We know that this season of difficulty, even the Great Tribulation is repeatedly referred to as a short time. The devil comes down, he's enraged because he knows his time is short. That the kings give their authority to the beast for 1 hour. It's a little while. Come, my people, hide yourselves in the interims, close the doors, until indignation passes for a little while. It's a very brief time. It's like we walk around living in terror of the Great Tribulation, but in light of everything, it's just a short, short while.
Yeah, amen. And folks, for the record, and we quoted it in the last program, but that was, he just quoted Isaiah 26:20. It says, come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, if it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. And that's what I believe, that it's like, you know, this is a minor birth pain, so to speak. It's going to get better, but the next one's going to be worse. And it's what we do now. Like with a woman, it'd be, well, hey, get to the doctor or get help. We need to get that help now. And that help starts at the bottom of the cross. Back to you.
Amen. Amen. Hide me behind the cross. You know, of course, let me just say this. We assume that this is going to get better, and I personally believe it's going to get better. I'm banking on the fact that it's going to get better. I mean, if it doesn't get better by the end of the year, you know, I'm assessing my own personal finance. I'm saying I can survive until the end of the year, as in I can't administer. I'm, you know, basically essentially out of work until this thing passes. I'm banking on it. But on the other hand, look, the reality is we could go to war with Iran in 4 weeks. You know, the global economy, there could be, you know, any number of things. Suddenly, you know, we wake up one day and all of a sudden there's a run on the banks or this, that, or, you know, any number of things could happen. There's still plenty of wild cards. There could be all of a sudden in the midst of this, the Lord just says, oh, by the way, there's going to be a massive earthquake. You know, like we really have no promise that it's necessarily going to get better. And, you know, I assume it will, but that's the nature of the last days. It's, It's all of these things. It's wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, natural disasters, man-made disasters, on and on and on. And that's the nature of what's coming. And again, I assume it's going to get better. I don't mean to get everybody depressed, but look, there's no promises that it necessarily will.
Well, even if it doesn't, then we have to be able to look at it like this. If folks, if it doesn't get better, then amen. Then we're further into the end times than maybe we thought, or we all see through a glass darkly. We don't really know how far we are anyway. Nobody does. But let me say this. So if the further we get in, that's the closer to the birth of the baby, which is Yeshua coming, and then we're great. Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I'm tempted to make a joke, you know.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's just, you've heard it so many times over the years. Well, praise God, we're going to be out here. We're going to be raptured before the hard stuff comes. Actually, I was interviewing a pastor from Damascus. This was 2013. It might have been late 2012. And, I mean, this guy had, you know, half of his church had been killed. And he said to me, he said, well, praise God, we're going to be out of here before the hard stuff comes. And, you know, and then I go, you're kidding me. Like, and then you look at what happened in Syria since then. You know, we can just keep telling ourselves, oh, we're going to be out of here before the hard stuff comes, but the hard stuff is coming. I mean, it's here. And the reality is, you know, I hate to say it, the scriptures don't promise us an easy out. Yes, we will escape the wrath of God, the wrath to come. But there's tremendous, reasons to believe that the wrath of God will actually be poured out when Jesus returns and we return with him. And up until then, it's the tribulation, it's the rage of Satan, but it's not actually the wrath of God. And I personally believe that we will be here throughout the coming tribulation. And look, if someone who's listening doesn't believe in that, I just say this, it's wisdom for all of life. Hope for the best, that's fine, that's wonderful, but my goodness, be prepared. Be prepared for the worst. And it's win-win. Worst case, you get pleasantly surprised. But if we're not prepared, then we stand to lose tremendously in those days, because that's the time when the whole world will be tested, and that includes the church. There's no easy outs.
Yeah, amen. As they say, the judgment starts at the house of Yahweh first. We've got to get ready. I mean, that's what it's all about. We've got to get ready. We should be able to come out of this better. We should be loving it, like you say, storing up treasure in heaven. And while, you know, our ministry is about that, so to speak, that isn't the reason that we do it. The reason that we help and do the things that we do is because the only way I know to serve the Father and the Son is by serving others. And so I try to put his blessing upon others. And every time that we, Joel, we serve a morsel of food, I make sure I make the best in whatever I make, because when I serve it to somebody, I feel like I'm serving the King, because he says, whenever you've done it unto the least of these, yes, that goes to Israel, but grafted in, you know what I'm talking about. Be blessed. You've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, I mean, praise God. I mean, finish the statement for me. He who gives to the poor
gives unto the Lord.
Lends unto the Lord.
Oh,
and
man.
So, you know, you're lending to the Lord, which means he owes you. I mean, that's actually the proverb. And so it's the same analogy as storing up for yourselves treasures. I mean, there's one way. How do we store up? Like, the easiest way, serve the poor. Serve the poor. When we serve the poor, we are essentially ministering to God himself, you know. And so I love what you're doing. I mean, there's almost no ministry in the earth that's more close to the heart of God than just ministering to those that are needy, that are desperate. And you're giving them both physical blessings, and you're giving them gospel blessings. You're giving them spiritual blessings. And so, you know, you've been doing it for years. You've been sacrificing, and you have a tremendous reward waiting for you. You know, using that analogy, the Lord owes you big. And so we can look forward to that. We can dwell on it, meditate on it. It's not selfish to think, hey, man, when this world's over, I've got, you know, a reward waiting for me in heaven. There's nothing selfish or carnal about that. That's Christian hedonism. You know, we're all about pleasure, but we're all about the pleasure in the age to come. And I think you're doing a great job at being a Christian hedonist.
Well, thank you. I don't, you know, I like I said, I'm just trying to serve the Father. Well, Joel, tell them one more time where they can find you, and I'll make sure they find that studio. And really, really thanks for being on with me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy times. So I'm at joelstrumpet.com. And again, to follow our Maranatha Global Bible Study, the Maranatha Fast, we're at faistudios.org.
All right. Well, thanks. You be blessed, and we'll talk again sometime. Thanks a lot for being on, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay, blessings. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that was Joel Richardson, joelstrumpet.com. Go check him out. He's got some great videos over there. If you want to know what he thinks about the Antichrist in detail, it's over there. He's got some great videos, and then try this other thing, FAI Studios. Go over there and check him out. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. And if, and by the way, if you're looking for food, Heaven's Harvest, go over there. They have food, but water bottles, I keep telling you, and start planting. And if you use that, it's called a Dan. If you use the Dan promo, it's just Dan when you check out, then, you know, we might get a blessing. Anyway, remember, always be a blessing to others. We must remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch. We'll be right back.